it's not not pre-recorded this week. It's actually June of 2018.
No more things from the depths of the archives.
No, that's not true. We have a couple more, and we saved kind of the best for last, I thought, because there's some pretty weird stories in there, and I think it's the most people we've ever had in the studio at once.
And it's five or six.
Yeah, and it manages to not sound like a train wreck. This is Ask an Atheist with me, Sam Mulvey. 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Toll free nationwide. And so this week was a festival, Becky, called CPROG, was it not?
It was. CPROG was up in South Seattle in the Columbia City neighborhood. And it was a mishmash conglomeration party ness of amazing progressive rock,
and we got to see one of the foundational bands of, I guess, my taste in music, Cheer Accident, which I had last seen in the 90s. Becky, I wanted to drag Becky and Nick along because, you know, okay, you have to experience what music is like for me. But I just happened to have Meredith and Wes hanging out with me when we were about to leave, and I think somehow Becky managed to lasso Meredith and Wes to come with us yesterday. And so, Meredith, how did you enjoy it?
I loved it so much. I like prog rock.
I did not know this.
Yeah, no, okay. I do. I really like prog rock. I'm just not super well versed.
Well, you don't have to be. That's
it was awesome though. Yeah. I had so much fun. Like, they had two stages with different music going.
And it was at Columbia City, where we've also seen Shelley play.
Yeah, Shelley. Indeed.
Yeah. And while I was there, I discovered that while Columbia City is like, it's a big venue, but there was a crowd, and it was kind of freaking me out. And I was trying to have a one-on-one conversation with somebody I hadn't seen in a while, and I realized just how inept I was at talking.
Funny for a talk show host.
Right. And that's the thing, is when I'm not doing the show, I'm mainly doing like tech stuff, and so I spend most of my time alone. And so without practice, I become this weird introverted space alien.
So you fit in with everyone else who was at the show.
No, I did not. No. You'd think you go for that particular trope, but in this case, I didn't. And frankly, for somebody like me, breaking a rhythm of your week is generally a bad idea. I think I may have made a mistake there. But
in going on a little hiatus from
Asking Atheist? I think actually that might have been a mistake. So getting back on the horse and trying to be good at people again, because nominally I'm bad at people. And how do we break this fast? With dead raccoons. A science and agriculture teacher from Marion County, Florida, of course, has resigned his high school teaching position after a student's cell phone video revealed that the teacher led his students in the drowning of two caged raccoons. Dewey Brewston submitted his intent to retire after being put on leave pending legal investigation into the killings. While Florida law permits the humane killing of nuisance animals, which include raccoons, the school superintendent stated that Florida's education standards do not include activities for the destruction of live animals, nuisance or not, calling Brewston's actions entirely unacceptable and demanding his termination regardless of any legal investigative outcome. The Future Farmers of America alumni group released a statement on Facebook standing by their teacher, partially on account of his being a man of faith.
Really? You traumatize your 14-year-old, students by making them kill raccoons, and then you say, no, it's okay because he believes in God?
I don't think God wanted you to drown those raccoons, man.
How do you know?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the according to some people's faith. So, the Lord gave man dominion over all the animals.
Oh, I love that line.
I actually got told that in a grocery store.
Did you?
By a grocery store clerk. It was very odd.
Was he mad that you were buying tofu?
No, he wasn't mad that I was buying tofu. I was actually at a grocery store that had a lot of vegetarian frozen products, and it was for a good price. It was like all marked down, and I was like, oh, this is usually kind of expensive, and we're kind of remarking about that, and he's like, yeah, and that's a really good brand. Now, I'm not a vegetarian because I believe that the Lord, you know, gave man dominion over all the animals, including the ones that we need to eat. But if I were a vegetarian, I would buy all of those products. It was the strangest comment from a grocery store clerk that I've ever had.
He's just doing what I'm doing now that I'm doing community radio, is I'm just trying to find ways to inject community radio into literally every conversation I have. And for somebody who doesn't talk to a lot of people, I don't get the chance very often. I imagine a grocery store clerk might have the same problem.
It doesn't make it?
Not annoying.
Is he trying to inject community radio into everything?
No, or he's just trying to inject
religion.
His Bible into...
What I'm saying is that community radio might be my religion right now. I don't know.
Are you a man of faith?
No, I'm not.
Good.
And that...
Don't go drowning in your raccoons
kinda,
either.
That's kind of the central portion of this. I mean, there's a video of this online. I watched the video.
I watched the blurred one.
I wouldn't call it humane.
No, it was not humane.
That's the problem.
Now, there is a defense of a kind that can be made here. And I'm not saying I was like some sort of really awesome farmhand or I spent my entire life on a farm, but I have spent a small portion of my life near farms where, you know, and knew people who worked on farms. Nuisance animals killing your livestock, getting into your crops are a thing.
And that's the case here. These particular raccoons were killing the chickens?
It's an agricultural science class, and they, you know, work in horticulture. They rear chickens and hens, and so you want to keep out things like raccoons and rats and possums.
And you can talk about, you know, capture and relocate, and sometimes that can work, but other times you're just relocating the animals to somebody else's farm, which isn't very great. Sometimes you got to kill the animals. However, you generally don't have this huge grand guignol kind of drown-a-thon, like it's an episode of Price is Right to kill these things off. It's not animal cruelty laws are kind of a thing, and the kids were completely not into this video. Like, they weren't, this wasn't like a yay, we're killing raccoons today. It's like, I don't, like, one student actually interceded on behalf of the smaller raccoon saying, oh, I don't think he did anything wrong, let him go.
Aww.
It was pretty bad. Is there any redeeming quality, educational value in this? I can't think of any.
So you
are our education correspondent.
Well, thank you. I really do like that the superintendent actually looked at, you know, the state standards. Nothing in any kind of science standards at the district level or at the Florida state level would call for the destruction of animals. Now we can say, you know, well, I mean, what did you dissect in you know, grade school and in high school for things? Did you have, you know, sheep's eyes, worms, earthworms, you know, rats, things like that? Dissections are some things that are still used in a science laboratory, in a science class. In every single circumstance where we've dissected parts of animals, or I have been working in a school environment where there were animals that were being dissected.
Do they still do dissection? I thought they had kind of phased that out.
It has been kind of phased out, but in every experience that I've had, it wasn't that you keep these animals alive for, you know, for torture. It wasn't that you look at the most grandiose, disgusting way to kill them. I mean, in this case, you had raccoons that were being lowered into, they were trapped. They were caged animals that were then submerged into a barrel of water.
Yeah.
It seems like an awful way to dispose of your nuisance animals, and having no educational value in that. You're not utilizing the animal's carcass for any kind of, you know, scientific investigation. And it's not like this is the recommended way to dispose of your nuisance animals.
And unlike video games and stuff like that, there is actually a fairly solid correlation between cruelty to animals and cruelty later on, as far as I remember.
And if it's being normalized by someone,
and if it's being normalized
by
a teacher,
your idol?
Yeah, it's like I said, it's you know, sometimes you have to get rid of nuisance animals on a farm. It's a thing that happens. I'm not going
to. There are certainly more humane ways to do it than lowering a cage animal into a tub of water.
And then there's this other thing, you know, the kid in town who. You don't want to see what I did to a cat.
Oh, I had a neighbor like that.
Yeah, this is more that than it is you know, getting rid of nuisance animals.
But back to being a man of faith, though.
That's just it. Yeah.
It's fine, because Jesus.
Well, and here's the thing. He worked as an educator in some capacity for 34 years. That's a storied career. Clearly, he made a positive impact on some people. Even when you have someone that was a mentor, a teacher, you can say, this was a mistake. I had a great experience as his, you know, advisee, but this was a mistake to do.
All right, let's say I'm a teacher, because I'm not going to put this on you, because somebody's going to take the quote out of context, and when you run for whatever you run for, it's going to be made to sound like that, you know, you did something terrible. Let's say I'm a teacher for some weird reason. And I, again, for some weird reason, do something terrible to an animal in the cause of science, because I'm somehow a science teacher now.
Of course you are.
And can you imagine the community, if the community came up and said, well, Sam Mulvey, he's a steadfast member of the community. He works hard in Tacoma, and he is a staunch and supportive member of the atheist community. Can you imagine how well that would go over? Churches from here to freaking Saturn would be talking about how my lack of faith means that I have absolutely no moral compass, and therefore killing small animals means nothing to me. This argument is nothing but basic Christian and religious privilege, and it's something we haven't talked about on the show a while. The stuff that, you know, things might be better for the atheist community out in 2018 than it was in 2010 when we started, but
well, it's certainly much more normalized. You have a huge percentage of the
but
American
this
population.
Faith privilege, where you can just call, you know, slap down the I'm a man of faith Trump card, somehow gets you out of being that heavy breathing husky kid in your suburban town who does terrible things to pets.
Well, Dewey Brewster, I think that you have been found out. You have been, Bruce Dunn, excuse me. You have been discovered.
Yeah, I think Dewey Brewster is a 80s sitcom. I think
it's Punky Brewster.
Oh, okay. All right.
Very close.
All right.
But you've been found out. We're calling your bluff. We're calling this man of faith thing as the garbage that it is. It's not something to indemnify you against these awful actions that you did in front of 14-year-old kids.
However, to the credit of the school, does not actually seem to be indemnifying him. It not like in his career. It doesn't seem to be. The school basically said, we don't really care what the investigation shows up. He's gone. We're done with it.
Because the investigation is whether he did something illegal per the sheriff.
Right, right.
But in terms of improper and inappropriate in a school context, they're like,
yeah, absolutely. Duh.
Unacceptable. Nope.
Absolutely.
You're done.
But so he's done as an educator. However, he's still going to be able to stand strong in his community because he's a man of faith. And I've seen this, I've not just seen this happen in the media, but I've seen this happen in my own life, in my own tiny suburb. You know, placing the faith card down and saying, I'm a man of faith, or having the community point to him, so he's a man of faith, like a Greek chorus, suddenly gets him out of a lot of, it's a get out of jail free card.
Yeah,
because I suppose if you're a white Protestant in Florida, hey, I went there.
Hmm.
So, before we go into the break, Becky, it's not in the show notes, but didn't we just finalize the Humanists of Washington July 4th event? Shouldn't we start talking about that?
Yeah, absolutely. July 4th in Ravenna Park, a collaboration between Humanists of Washington and Seattle Atheists. We'll be in Ravenna Park from 1 to 5. If you want to come help us set up and decorate and do all those kinds of things, you can come around 11 a.m. It's a really great time, and it attracts atheists and humanists from really our whole region. And one thing that I'm really excited to see this year is there's actually some more local kind of picnics celebrating our secular holiday of Independence Day, one down in Steilacoom and one up in Kitsap. So
yeah,
as
I gotta get that Stargate working,
as atheism becomes more normalized and, you know, we say, hey, we don't have, the religious holidays to celebrate. Let's celebrate our secular holidays together and the values of freedom and independence and liberty, and getting together and having a picnic.
Yeah.
Having a cookout, playing some yard games and field games and things like that.
Yeah. Like with the Solstice Dinner, July is sort of one of the tentpole events for atheism and humanism in the Seattle community. And I like to participate when I can. And now I'll edit this out if this is incorrect, but will the 4th of July picnic be the revitalization of Humanists of Washington?
I believe indeed it will be one of our softer launches for some awesome new kinds of things on the horizon for Humanists of Washington.
Yeah, Humanists of Washington has been kind of in repose. I don't know how to describe it.
Stagnant?
Yeah, and we've been working on it behind the scenes, and we're planning on relaunching it this year. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to the break. We're going to come back. We're actually going to talk about some kind of good things in politics. They're not here, though. Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And the studio has turned into a dance-off. This is not something I've seen.
We're just so enthused by... We're still infected by yesterday's progressive...
Concert hangover.
Oh, okay.
You get that ever? Concert hangover, where you're just still so high from having seen some like really great music the night before that every music makes you just want to wiggle a little?
I mentioned the alien from space thing, did I not?
No.
Okay.
You did.
I think I forgot you were an alien from space.
All right. No, I just act like one. Spanish socialist leader Pedro Sanchez was sworn in this week as his country's newest prime minister after spearheading a no-confidence vote against the disgraced leader Mariano Rajoy. Rajoy, who headed the Conservative People's Party, was ousted after he was discovered to have participated in a secret campaign fund scheme. Sanchez, an atheist, accepted his oath of office without swearing on a Bible or a crucifix, making it the first such acceptance of the oath in Spain's modern history. In 2014, as a rising star of his party, Sanchez revealed that he is, Becky?
Ateo a secas.
Roughly interpreted as atheist to the bone.
I love that
to
expression. In Spanish, you say to dry. Like,
yeah.
If you like... You know, bled someone dry, you would still find that core essence at the end. So we call it, you know, in English, atheist to the bone. They call it ateo a secas, which is atheist to dry.
Nice.
But that doesn't translate well with, you know, exact words. So, you know, that's what we get.
This is pretty cool. By no means not the first atheist world leader, I would say. But I think New Zealand got there first, it may have been.
Or perhaps... atheistic communist state regime, but but in terms of like
I have weird problems with calling that atheism, because if
that's
it's
state enforced,
because
atheism.
if it's dogmatically imposed from an authority figure, it is atheism, because it does meet the two word definition. But I guess I should say more positive atheist method than a I don't want to...
If you're doing the state atheism, you've thrown out the supernatural but kept the dogmatism.
Right. But I don't want to somehow dodge the fact that, you know, the 20th century style communist regimes, the authoritarian communist regimes, were state atheists. And by our very definition, from last week's episode, meet the definition of atheism. I'm not no true Scotsmaning this, is what I'm saying.
No. But I think what you're, you know...
Thank you for catching me there.
I think what you're bringing up here is we've got more and more people in world politics who are atheists as just a matter of course, not as part of their campaign, not
right.
as essential to how they think, you know, things should be governed. They're pluralistic and they just happen to be atheistic.
Part of an identity, not necessarily part of a political ideology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, in this case, though. You know, in that 2014 interview, because he's run a few times, Sanchez has, he actually talks about how he believes that there should be a division between religion and secular schooling. So, but here's the thing, you don't have to be atheist to espouse those views. You can actually say, yes, I am a staunch Christian, but I believe that your faith is the realm of the private sphere. Because... when we look at a pluralistic society where we have secular schooling, that actually protects all people of faith and no faith.
Sorry, are you referring to the 2014 interview quote?
Yeah, I actually really love this.
I am an atheist and I believe that religion should not be in the classrooms. It has to be in the churches. In the classrooms, you have to form citizenship, not people with religious beliefs. That corresponds to the private sphere.
And citizenship in this case, we're talking about, you know, like participation in a civic society.
Civic involvement.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not whether you, you know, have a passport stamped, you know, with a specific nation state or something like that. So I actually, for being a Spanish teacher, I'm not super up on the politics of Spain and the modern sort of democracies of Spain. So looking at all of this, we know that there's a lot of different you know, contention that's going on. You have the Catalonian region that really wants to establish its own, you know, its own state in a lot of ways. There was, you know, referendum that voted positively, things like that. So Sanchez has got his work cut out for him.
Mm.
And he doesn't actually have a majority of parliamentary seats. It just happens to be that in their particular governmental systems, whoever calls for a vote of non-confidence has to be prepared to lead should that person be ousted. And lo and behold, this is the first time it's actually happened. So he kind of got saddled with this, but he, as the person who brought the no confidence, motion, had to have been prepared to do that.
Well, I tried to follow Spanish politics with some difficulty, but I, you know, for a fairly good reason. I mean, apparently they have a king. He's kind of hot, but he doesn't do much.
Hey, have you looked at this Sanchez guy?
No.
I might call him kind of a looker.
All right.
He's a socialist. He's a young economist. He's relatively young in terms of world leaders. I think he's only in his, you know, early to mid 40s.
Sure. But I also was kind of hoping to look at Spain as a potential model for sort of a post-nationalist world, if such a thing were to come about, because might be good to have a functional model of that. Because when you move from one era to another, usually there's some sort of, you know, ceremonial representation of the ancient regime left over. And, you know, it's like, okay, it's Spain, a lot of autonomous regions. There is sort of a Spanish identity, but there's stronger identity to sort of regional, or, you know, regional governments. And
tied up in a lot in the language variety,
yeah,
that the people speak.
Yeah. And then they had like a national anthem that doesn't have words, but apparently when it had words, it's like, hey, we're all here in a place and that's kind of cool, so we're Spain. And
that's a nice thought.
but then the whole, you know, I clearly was looking in the wrong place, because then the Catalonian thing, you know, went down. I'm like, okay, I got this wrong.
So just as Euskara is sort of calming down and saying we're not going to be bombing things anymore, this is the Basque separatist groups.
Exactly.
As they've, you know, said, you know, ceasefire, we're going to promote our heritage and culture by other means. Catalonian region says, oh, we'll take up the mantle of wanting to separate.
Which I guess might make it a more accurate model of a post-nationalist, of a not quite post-nationalist.
I was wondering if you'd go
model
there.
Yeah, but
well, I think
I don't even know if that's a desirable thing. Like, I don't have an opinion on it, but sometimes it seems to be things are going that way. So it's nice to know what it could look like and not totally explode everything.
Well, one other thing about Spain in terms of its transition is, you know, I'm a Spanish teacher, and it astounds my students sometimes when they hear that it was legal for two guys or two women to get married in Spain before it was legal in much of the United States to do so. And when you think of Spain, oftentimes you think of this really Catholic heritage. But I was really surprised to find out that now Spain is only considered 2/3 Catholic.
Right.
There's so a full 1/3
losing religiosity as well.
Yeah, and diversifying in terms of, you know, its religious profile.
Well, it seems to be going on in the heavily Catholic parts of the EU right now.
Yeah,
if you look at Ireland and its successful abortion ban repeal.
Yeah, that was something to celebrate. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big deal that happened while we were on break. There's other stuff going on in
oh right, that good politics things,
the good
just
politics things. Yeah. A gay atheist may be running for the presidency in Catholic Poland in 2020. Career politician Robert Biedroń became Poland's first openly gay MP in 2011 and was elected mayor of Słupsk in 2014. Now many Poles, including former President Aleksander Kwasniewski, are calling for him to run for president. Poland is presently governed by the highly conservative Law and Justice Party. You might as well just call yourself the Fist. If you're going to go that generic.
Okay, Law and Justice Party.
Right, which many Polish liberals are dissatisfied with because
of its incarnation of the Avengers.
Right. Because of its Roman Catholic values and superficial patriotism. But although current polls show that he is the third favorite for president, he faces a tough battle against an overwhelmingly Catholic society and a party approval rating of only 10%. I'm not saying they're like some sort of uber fascist bionic commando party. I'm just saying that if you're going to have that generic a name, come on, guys. I don't know about this party, so I can't say. But, you know.
So he's only got a 10% approval rating from his party, but
well,
hey.
No, the party he's a part of only has a 10% approval rating in
okay.
the nation.
And he's got the endorsements of former president, so mm-hmm. that's cool. But hey, you know what? If you don't run, you're not going to be seen.
That's exactly it. I mean, I read a couple articles, an interview with him where he's talking about how he was like in the town where he's now mayor. People would use the F word on him.
Oh, yeah. He was being bullied and harassed and beaten in the streets.
Yeah.
While he was a mayor? While he was...
Prior to being...
No, prior. Oh, okay. When he was an MP.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he got mayor. He became the mayor. And suddenly everybody's nice to him and smiling at him.
Good morning, Mr. Bjorn.
Yeah.
How are you today? No, if nothing else, I mean, I understand like it might be difficult for him to get elected in Poland because there are a lot of Catholic people still there and they might not think a gay atheist should be the president of the country. But there are people saying that it's good for visibility, right?
Yeah.
You see an atheist who is gay running for president and people supporting him. That's awesome.
And probably good for Poland, too.
Yeah.
Poland's an interesting story because, I mean, it's kind of been turbo-westernized in a way. Because it was a Warsaw Pact nation when I was a kid, and now it's they got a gay atheist running, but not like the communist style. And the country is mostly Catholic.
There's a lot of good youth movement, actually, that's going into the political elections that go on, where you have, social media and electronic campaigns that kind of had overturned a lot of expectations in terms of how the voting populace trended. Who knows? I mean, his party only has a 10% approval rating.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're just not checking the social media users. I don't know.
Yeah. These are not places where we're political experts on, I'll say that. And if you're from there, God, I'd like to hear about, I'd like to hear from you. Like, is this something, is there a there? Because sometimes media overplays stuff. And so, but what's that?
Just media overplaying stuff. That's all right.
Are you, what, there's a grimace there. On something.
I'm calling on to the next little media.
Oh, yeah. I'm leaning into it.
A little overplayed.
leaning into it a little bit. But if you're from these places, I would really like to hear from you about how it looks from, like, where Trump looks from us, I suppose. Ah, boy. So this one is also good news, but it's got kind of a fun... question mark.
I was just smiling anticipating this one.
A pastor in Barranquilla, Colombia is warning followers that leftist presidential candidate Gustavo Petro carries out heavy metal laced satanic rituals prior to his campaign rallies in order to draw in crowds. Petro, an avowed atheist and former mayor of Bogota, is being denounced by evangelical pastor Agustin Torres for the Misión Conquista Mundial Church after the pastor saw a Facebook video edited to suggest that the would-be First Lady's normal gestures and waves represented secret satanic signals.
Ooh.
The narrator of the propaganda video also suggests that Petro's wife has a reptilian expression and that Petro is merely a communist walking in the path of Venezuela's Hugo Chavez. Minor sleuthing by the Ask an Atheist team revealed that the anti-Petro video hails from a Russian Facebook account. Go, Becky.
Okay, so I had to research all of this thing. I went down the rabbit hole of ridiculous...
You deep-dived this.
Conspiracy theorist, Colombian campaign things. So, all right, so there's this pastor, Mr. Agustin Torres, and he is like... many pastors that just put themselves on YouTube and apparently has a worldwide reach of 18 million or whatever it is. But he's got his mega church and he has his evangelical thing. They actually went to one of the candidates' rallies and did this like anti-satanic rite. And people were just kind of saying how ridiculous it was and throwing stuff at them and things like that. But, so he's doing essentially this response video to a propaganda video with an electronically masked voice narrating things in Spanish. And Meredith, now you watched
Yeah, I watched this
me.
One with you. So, I don't speak Spanish at all, though. So
you could see they slow down a video of Mrs. Candidate. What's his name? Petro. So Gustavo Petro's wife is standing up there on the stage like one generally does when you're the spouse of a candidate that's running. And her eyes are kind of looking from side to side and in a downward motion. Now, they're standing on an elevated platform because they're giving a speech at a rally.
So maybe she's, I don't know, surveying the crowd in front of her that's
like directly
down and to the left.
Okay.
Sure.
So yeah, so she's making eye contact with her constituents, or, you know. So they slow it down. It says, look, she goes back and forth and back and forth. And then that slows down again as she winks, a one-eyed wink. And it's captioned as, this is the signal that the satanic rite has been finished.
Yeah, what they're claiming is her eye darting motion is some sort of satanic ritual, and that when she winks at the end of it, which she was probably just blinking her eye or got a piece of dust in it, then the satanic ritual is done, and all of these people who have come to listen to him speak now are satanically mesmerized to want to vote for him.
Wait, there was one other signal too. She pats her husband's behind.
That's like definitely satanic.
Well, it's a bit weird for a political rally, but it's not necessarily satanic.
It's just kind of
Wes's bum if he was on stage saying
like
a nice thing.
It's a little attaboy thing, right? It's totally an attaboy little love tap, right? It's a butt bump or something. Okay.
Just do me a favor and don't touch my butt on stage.
Okay.
Can we just... All right, thanks.
deal. So, so I'm looking at this. I'm laughing. Now, they also are comparing him to Chavez. They're splicing speeches, and it looks like, look, he's plagiarized from one of Chavez's old speeches. Okay, fine, because they happen to be South American socialists. That's not surprising in any way whatsoever. So then I try and look at, you know, what the link is to this embedded video on like a just an entertainment schlock site where I'm seeing this. And it links to something that is .ru. And I said, what? It's a Russian Facebook account that's that's mesmerizing this evangelical pastor. So not only do we have...
What was the domain?
Something.ru. It was okay. Through Facebook.
Was it VKontakte?
I couldn't tell you that.
Okay, because it may just be host. Well, I mean, okay, being hosted in Russia is specious, but I may want to double check that one and make sure.
Some minor sleuthing, some introductory
sleuthing. Yeah. There needs to be additional sleuthing.
Tell you what, we'll put the what Becky has dug up for us on the show notes.
And you guys can all do all the sleuthing you want and tell us, fact, is there Russian interference in the Colombian elections?
Yeah, and I will look at that as well as along with you guys, and we'll determine if there's a there.
So, meanwhile, another atheist running for a major, you know, office.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like he's doing too well in the polls, though.
Well,
I don't think it's the work of his satanic...
You don't think it's...
Maybe the satanic rituals aren't working well enough.
Yeah.
Maybe they've got to do more eye blinking.
You don't think it's that the evangelical anti-satanic rituals worked?
Oh, I get it. So the satanic rituals were really effective, but then Pastor Augustine's incantations just defeated all of them.
Yes.
So I know...
Has to be it.
So we were going to do like a three good beats and then a down beat, but you didn't write it up. Is that because you think I'm getting really terrified of doing politics?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
I mean, because we had all the good politics from outside the country.
Because apparently Trump went on...
And then all
on,
of the bad politics inside the country.
Right. Because Trump went on Pardon Palooza this week, apparently. Well, I mean, he just pardoned one guy, Dinesh D'Souza. Didn't know he went to jail.
Yeah,
actually.
So he was involved in not, I guess, unlike the deposed the disgraced Spanish prime minister, into some, you know, campaign financing schemes that were not really legal. That was kind of a scandal. But apart from doing messy stuff with campaigning, Dinesh D'Souza, from the perspective of, well, my atheist, humanist, pluralistic perspective, he's kind of a rotten guy. He's said some really anti-LGBT stuff.
Yeah.
He's sort of, you know, your standard, you know, conservative talking head that kind of has to play into, I guess, some of these, you know,
he's just
racistly overtoning things. And he's just not a nice guy.
I'll signal boost Bill Donahue for a joke. The Human League guy, a Catholic League guy.
You're still stuck in prog rock, right?
Yeah, I am. That's, well, okay. But you know, Dinesh D'Souza is someone who just says really kind of terrible stuff, and, you know, it's just easier to go, okay, that guy's a hateful jackass, and just move on with your life. I don't really, you know, I've never paid attention to him. People have asked me to watch his movies, because they know how much I like bad film.
Are they documentary?
Yeah, he did a documentary called,
I didn't know he did a documentary.
I'd have to look it up. He, like, did a documentary, like, a What Happens in the Obama Presidency, you know, thing. And, yeah, get, hint, none of it comes true. It's, yeah, 2016, Obama's America, came out in 2012, and was about as accurate as 2012. In predicting the future, as it happens.
Oh, the one with the major disasters and the flooding of the Earth and the Yellowstone caldera.
Your favorite kind of film, which boggles me no end.
As someone who is very, you know, invested in science telling us the best, you know, things about how to understand our world around us. For some reason, I really love these over-the-top, ridiculously implausible science disaster movies.
Yes, yes you do.
It's a little guilty pleasure.
Volcano's a good one, though.
I don't think that anything like that is going to happen. I know that they're implausible and they're over the top, and it's kind of this weird bastardization of science, but I still love them.
So, to kind of break up the anti-religious stuff, we kind of have a good story. A megachurch in Kansas recently hosted an iftar dinner with the local Muslim community as part of the celebration of Ramadan. After being approached by interfaith group the Dialogue Institute of Kansas City, Reverend Adam Hamilton and the Church of the Resurrection agreed to host the dinner in an effort to dissipate fear and demonstrate the love of Christ to the Muslim community. The dinner was attended by about 320 people, including about 40 Muslims, with small tables of Christians and Muslims engaging in conversations about their respective faiths, how Ramadan is celebrated, and the importance of fasting. Hamilton called the dinner a win-win, saying that everyone who attended the event was able to learn from each other. That's kind of cool.
That is really cool.
I mean, I kind of hate to be the, you know, I'm the Muslim on the spot in that one. It's kind of like being the one atheist at the table. Everybody's going to ask you a bunch of kind of 101 questions, because that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, but also, like, I think it's really great that they would reach out and have this kind of interfaith dinner where people can sit down and actually talk to each other about their respective faiths.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is we were doing the show notes last night, because I decided last night we're going to do a live show this week, and Becky read that to me, and I'm like, hey...
Let's talk about that.
Let's just, like, we don't have to make a big commentary on it. We don't have to go out of our way to say, hey, we're saying nice things about religious people, because that's not something we ever do. It's just nice.
I wonder if there are humanist communities that do the same kinds of things.
And I think kind of frequently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's a neat model.
But I don't want to say, haha, we did it first. It's not about that. In the words of Mike Nelson of Mystery Science Theater, hey guys, niceness is fun. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to a break, and we come back. We are going to generate while talking about sound waves.
If.
This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. When?
Okay.
All right, so... Oh, man. I love this. I love this so much. The California Medical Board has requested a hearing to discuss revoking the license of a doctor selling sound files online that he claims can cure Ebola and a variety of other illnesses. Dr. William Edwin Gray III's website sells 200... I shouldn't really... I'm a junior. I shouldn't say anything about that. Sells 263... E-remedies, sound waves created by placing homeopathic liquids in an electrified wire coil and recording the sounds, resulting in 13-second clips which sound like hissing. Users can simply answer a few questions about their condition on the site and then pay $5 for an appropriate remedy or subscribe to receive $25 for $100 without ever being seen by the good doctor? Since there is no peer-reviewed scientific literature that supports these claims, and because he failed to get approval for these cures from the FDA, the board is accusing him of gross negligence. Because homeopathy doesn't require a license to practice, he could likely be able to go about his business without it. And what's not in the brief, which we should mention, is that even other homeopaths think this guy is shot out there.
Exactly. The New York Homeopathic President Board of Founder guy.
Which is a thing.
Apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Says.
You got to justify all that money somehow.
Yeah, he's on his own on this one.
Yeah.
Is his official statement on homeopathic sound waves.
Oh, right. That was his official statement. It literally was. He's on his own. Oh, man. Oh, boy.
So I want to know, he's taking electrified coils, placing them in
I'll get there for a moment.
Okay.
All right.
I'll stew on that for a minute.
First, I'm going to present you with a gift.
Oh?
You have this list of things, and it took literally everything to get you to please stop singing them in the pre-show.
Yes, I was doing a little like Gilbert and Sullivan kind of thing, and then I turned it into a rap, and then I turned it into like an after-school special,
and then it turned into a
Broadway musical.
Digestive aid.
Yeah. Digestive aid jingle.
Yeah.
I offer you the opportunity for the purposes of embarrassing yourself in front of an audience.
Gladly.
To sing, or performatively list. And I'm going to take off my headphones.
Okay. All right. So, apart from Ebola, in alphabetical order, behold all of the maladies that can be treated by homeopathic sound waves. Anxiety, panic, and phobia. Back pain, bites and stings, bladder infection, cholera cough, diarrhea, earache, fever, grief. Head injury, headache, infant, colic, influenza, injury, labor delivery, malaria, menstrual pain, pet, abscess, pet, bladder infection, teething, toothache, typhoid!
Thank you, Becky.
This is my prog rock hangover.
Was it everything you wanted it to be?
Yes.
Awesome.
That was glorious.
So, okay.
So not just treated. He claims that his sound waves can cure all of those things in just a couple sessions.
So labor delivery. I'm assuming
cured.
That's
cured.
That's,
you'll just be cured of labor delivery.
Where's the baby?
Well, two questions. Does he mean delivering like a labor union, or does he mean delivering a baby?
You know, and if we're in negotiations right now.
Right.
With our
if he means delivering a baby, does the baby get like?
I think it's baby. His website, the icon on that module, it's called, shows a pregnant woman.
Okay.
So I think it's baby delivery.
So does the baby go into like an alternate dimension? Like does like
you're cured of baby now?
Does the sound waves just a
Does a TARDIS tube back up to the baby's nether regions and make the baby go away? And how is this not a late term abortion?
Yeah, we should have more than just the New York homeopathic president getting in on this. There should actually be all of these conservative fundamentalist Christians that want to restrict abortion rights, you know, getting in on him. But, you know, at the same time, he does cure pets' abscesses.
And pet bladder infections, but those are the only two.
But just those two things.
What about the ear mites? I mean, really?
No, just those two things.
You'd think that since they're sound waves being received by the pet's ear, that it could at least cure.
No,
the ear
it actually.
Mites.
Well, no, the problem is, it doesn't have anything to do with your hearing of the sounds. It's because the sound vibrates your body. In the same frequency as
the
homeopathic water did. That's how it cures you. Is that
I have so many questions.
Guy is so bonkers.
No, So
apply some skepticism to your life.
There's a wire coil that he electrifies and runs liquid through the coil. It's like a hollow coil.
Oh,
then he records that sound, and that sound is the memory of
what's the coil called where we cool down the wort when we're brewing beer.
The wort chiller.
Okay, the wort chiller.
Yeah.
He basically electrifies a wort chiller through homeopathic.
That's what it sounds like.
Tea.
So it'd be good if, you know what would be a really good thing right now?
What's that?
We had somebody who knew something about audio and digital audio and circuits in the...
Wait
a minute. All right. Joking aside. So the first things first, it's probably an electromagnetic coil. I'm assuming. He probably, much like a speaker, will have a coil. He's probably making a speaker-like coil around a vial. Like, that's the... From what I can read, that's what it seems like.
It sounds like it's backwards from that, though. They're not saying he puts the coil in the vial. He's saying he runs liquid through a coil.
Oh, is that how it works?
That's how it read when I was reading it.
Does he voltage bias the coil at all?
I don't know.
Pardon me, I have a cold.
You know what? There's something for that. Wait, 5 seconds of... It's your homeopathic vibration.
Seconds.
Well, here's the deal. It's clearly, from what I can tell from the description and from what I've looked at online, he's probably using a wideband noise generator as his audio source, passing it over this homeopathically charged coil filled with a liquid that will cure every ailment and solve every problem. Hang on. And then recording it with his audio equipment and then encoding it as a freaking MP3 and putting it on his website. Does anybody see the problem with this, even if homeopathy worked?
Wait, MP3s are lossy files.
Exactly.
Well, oh no, that works with homeopathy because the more diluted it gets,
oh no,
the more effective it is. If you record it as a FLAC, it wouldn't be as powerful.
If the whole purpose of this is to capture the vibrations of the medication, then
you would want those vibrations to be as strong as possible.
Anything that would distort the vibrations of the medication would decrease the efficacy of that medication.
I'm going to go with Sam on this one. You made a really good point. He's making a really good counterpoint.
My point.
Why are we actually discussing this?
Right. Because why is he selling it as an MP3? Because they're smaller, his bandwidth bill is lower, and this is flim-flam. So he wants to get away for as little bit money as possible. But this is something I can do. Like, with equipment in my house. I have a wort chiller. I can make Ode Lemonhead.
What will it cure, Sam?
I lack of lemon heads.
Smoking cessation.
Or tell you what, like we do a potato test. Like in high school when you put your thumbprint on a potato or whatever.
Yeah.
And so we do the potato test and
the potato was killed humanely in this case.
Right. With a knife.
Didn't drown it.
Yeah. And you take
until we put it into the homeopathic
You take a bit of the potato and you do the where you basically wash it enough that there's literally no potato bacteria left. And then you make your homeopathic solution. And then you pass it through the coil, record it and whatever, and then play it at a similar potato that is similarly infected and see if the bacteria die. And so you can do this. We're basically ABX testing with potatoes at this point, where you play an MP3, a FLAC, and a white noise source to see if there's any change.
This is a really good controlled experiment.
Yeah, like this is something I could do.
I challenge you know what, this experiment also needs replication. That's part of the scientific method, right? You need to share your results. You need to replicate the experiment.
I'm just wondering if I should even do it.
Yeah, let's get as many homeopathic potato blight experiments going around the world as possible.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm saying is this is like. This is easy to do. I just, like, literally, if the whole purpose of your, if the entire single purpose of your weird crap medicine scheme from back in the days when people died from hangnails on a regular basis in the industrialized world, wouldn't it make sense, like, so you're capturing these vibrations and you're playing these vibrations and water holds vibrations and sound is vibration and da, 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 da. And there's links to ether theory in this. I'm not even kidding. So wouldn't altering, and the whole point of MP3s and a lot of other, you know, audio encoders is that they subtract information. If it's the vibrations you're after, why are you subtracting the vibrations? Because isn't the washing thing and the homeopathy thing preserving the vibrations? And now you're saying we can get rid of the material that prevents disease or causes disease, but now we can also get rid of the vibrations because the vibrations can be diluted as well? What the heck is left? Now it's just happy thoughts medicine.
Well,
it's basically, yeah. Well, we're more in Christian science territory at this point, but yeah. Should I really give this a shot?
Yeah, I think so. Well, not shots. Those are too Western.
Right. Yeah, that's too functional.
Give it an acupuncture.
I noticed that it doesn't actually treat common cold. It treats cough, but cold isn't on here. Rhinovirus is not treatable via homeopathic sound waves.
I have a little bit more... I have a slightly more ethical approach to this than a medical doctor. At least for a little while longer. In that I want to try this on potatoes and not people. Because I don't want to have a control guy with a cold. You can't take anything. You just got to sit there and be miserable with your cold, whoever you are, because I'm giving you $5. Nah, I'm not. No, no. One, I don't have $5. Two, completely unethical.
Potatoes. Good control mechanism.
Yeah. Jeez. Prosperity gospel televangelist Jesse Duplantis recently suggested to his followers that he needed a $54 million jet to continue his worldwide mission of evangelism, claiming that if the Lord Jesus Christ was physically on Earth today, he wouldn't be riding on a donkey. But no, he would be in an airplane flying all over the world. After backlash from Christians and skeptics alike, Duplantis released a follow-up message where he clarified that he hadn't actually asked his followers to pay for the private Dassault Falcon 7X aircraft, and I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. He invited the faithful to believe with him and to pray about becoming a partner. The pastor was previously stated that commercial jets are full of demons that bog down his schedule with prayer requests.
The demons are giving him prayer requests?
I think he just called all commercial passengers demons. Oh, man.
Yeah. His ministry already has 3 jets and a Desterhan-based church and a 35,000 square foot house with a double 2-car garages.
Maybe someday I can own my own house.
Yeah, no kidding.
A $54 million jet to go with it. That jet has an optional onboard shower system. It's got like major beds.
I've
and
only
suites. And
I've only read about the Falcon 7X. I've never actually pronounced the name of the company, so I'm probably, and it's French, so I'm probably pronouncing it.
That sounds right to me.
Okay, but it's. I mean, if you're gonna scam people, I guess scam big because that's a heck of a plane.
Well, and you know,
$54 million jet.
A lot of the other, you know, televangelists that dart across the world, they have, you know, more reasonable private jets that are in the, you know, like $26 million range or the $31 million range. I mean, this guy, you know, he's not asking for you to pay for his jet. He just wants you to pray about it with
him. What's wrong with the other 3 that he has?
They're just jet setting all around the world, and it tires them out. And I don't know, maybe it was infested by prayer request demons.
Maybe he needs to be in the air at all times to avoid being infested by demons on the ground.
Oh, all of us little lowly people.
Oh, wait,
with
no,
our
that's
prayer
requests. That's from Left Behind, I think.
Oh, is it?
Except it's the opposite.
Oh.
Because Satan something something of the air. So the thing about this is that prosperity, the media, portions of the media are kind of buying this up. Oh, he totally didn't say that, he didn't demand that, his worshipers pay for his new jet. That's fake news.
I like how you said his worshipers.
Yeah.
I used it quite intentionally. If you believe that, you're falling for how prosperity gospel works. The idea is that you are invited to pray with this superstar, mega millionaire Christian who tells you that if you pray and God tells you to give this superstar, mega millionaire Christian dude a ton of your money, that it will be visited upon some Super Street Fighter multiple times back upon yourself.
Yeah, prosperity gospel is just weird.
Right. And so the whole point of the exercise, for fraud reasons, and 80% of the reason why prosperity gospel exists as it does in the United States, is because the prosperity gospel captain of industry never says, give me money. He says, ask God if you should give me money.
And of course, God will tell you to give your money to him.
Yes, because he's saying, I really need this jet. I really totally need this jet to go to far off planets and visit Christianity upon the outsiders and bring them into the fold and give them the prosperity that you now share in your studio apartment with me in my 35 bedroom home.
It sounds like capitalism.
Yeah, we absolutely need this to push Christianity. Not really, but I can. Well, in America, maybe, but not supposed to. And I could see, you know, oh yeah, you just, if you visit this upon me with so many great things, but I'm not going to ask you to do it. I'm going to ask you to ask God, but I'm just going to keep talking about it. You know, it's like call waiting with, with me and God. You have God on line one, me on line two. You're getting line noise on line one, and it's going to be me asking for money on line two. And then when you got that figured out, give me money. That's pretty much how it works.
Yeah.
$54 million airplane.
Is this when I mentioned my favorite post I ever wrote?
Yeah.
On
It's the same thing, except instead of, what, $3 million? $54 million. This is exponential. This is, you know, parabolic increase of
It was literally one
demand.
Sentence. It's like Joel Osteen asks for $3 million.
I think it was just, Benny Hinn.
Or Benny Hinn asks for $3 million. That's one of them. And it's just pictures of his properties with the same sentence. And then he gets, and then the last sentence is he gets $3 million in one show. I'm in the wrong business. Oh, well. Well, before we wrap up, we have some bad news. It was announced on our Facebook feed this morning by Dan that a longtime friend of the show, Justin, was just in a kind of terrible vehicle accident. Becky?
Yeah. Friend of the show, Justin, was in a motorcycle accident. We'll have some links up where you can follow his story and some of the support that you give him. This is not me saying that God should just, you know, tell you to give things. This is me as a human saying,
yeah, the
hey.
Juxtaposition there, I guess, could have been better.
No, this is me as a human saying,
Justin would appreciate the
idea. We are asking for us human to human to help and support our community and those in our community, because when right now in the United States, when someone has a life-changing accident and medical expenses, they pile up, and we could use the support. So you can find it at atheist.radio and in our social media feeds and things like that, where you can see how to help out and support our friends.
In the simple language of my people, if you can, do. If you can't, don't. Anyway, that's all the time we've got for today. Thank you very much, Becky.
Thank you, Sam.
This is the first time we've been on together in a while.
Yeah, it is.
Still a little rocky, but I think we're getting there. And Meredith, it's the first time you've been on the air at all in a while.
Did
you have fun?
Absolutely. I can't wait to do it again.
Fantastic. You can go to our website at atheist.radio. You can Twitter us at AskAnAtheistWA. And Meredith is going to start being on top of Twitter, so that's kind of cool.
Yep.
And you can email us at questions@atheist.radio. You can leave us a voicemail at 844-753-7842. Thank you to the musicians of the wonderful music. Thank you to C-Prog for a wonderful show yesterday. And I'll see you guys soon.